Well, welcome. It's the 28th of February already, and this month and this year are just whizzing by. But we're so happy you've taken time out of your schedule to join us here on Advanced Studio Classroom and our career article, What to Ask in an Interview. And I have two fine gentlemen. Yesterday I called them knowledgeable. Today I'll call them fine and knowledgeable gentlemen to join me on our discussion.
Thank you very much, Linda. It's good to be back, and you can have me on your show anytime.
I will.
You can add other nice adjectives to describe us anytime you want. Hello, listeners. I'm Simon, and it's great to be back.
And I'm Linda. I guess I never really did introduce myself. We're all happy that you're here to join us today for our second day of our career article, What to Ask in an Interview. And yesterday we had kind of an interesting discussion about impressing your interviewer. So you are the interviewee, and we have two consultants that are giving 10 questions about things you can ask when you are being interviewed. And what stood out to you, Josh?
Well, from yesterday, what really stood out to me is this idea that, of course, if you ask the right questions, it gives you an opportunity to shine. So to really stand out from all the other people who are interviewing for the same position.
What about you, Simon?
Yeah, I think the thing that stood out most to me was that we focused a lot yesterday on the idea that if you are doing an interview, you should ask questions because of the impression that it gives the interviewer. But I think one of the things we probably could have mentioned that we didn't is that your asking questions in an interview is also a good way for you to find out if you really want to work at that company or in that job.
That's right. And that is an important point because you might end up finding out that this is not what you thought it was. Maybe it's been advertised in one way, but really they're looking for something else. And it's not a company culture that you want to be in, or it's not a job that you want to have. And we talked about company culture, our work culture, yesterday. And that's just really the unspoken kind of ideas or attitudes that are found within a company and the way that people operate within that company. So it's something that you do need to try to find out about without asking the interviewer, what's your company culture? Because we're probably not going to tell you. But we talked about ways that you can find it out through some questions you could ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So today we have seven more questions or areas that you might want to include when you're asking your questions. And we are on page 43 of your magazine if you have it with you. So you might want to open it and you can follow along with our reading or find it on your digital device. And we're going to read through about line 17 in the left-hand column.
Four. Find out who's been the most successful person in that position and why. That would give you an idea of the kind of growth or path you might have in the company. 5. Ask about the potential for future earnings. Sometimes we take a job with a pay cut and compromise with the hope that there will be room to grow the paycheck. So a question about future potential earnings is relevant. It will also give you an idea of the income track you are in, Kasky says. 6. Inquire about the rules tied to innovation and future projects. Do your homework and mention a new product or service the employer is working on, and ask how it was developed. The answer will let you know about research opportunities and the process, and also give an idea on how open they are for creative and innovative pursuits.
So, Simon, what do you think about point number 4?
I'll tell you, I find this question heartbreaking because my background, of course, was in teaching. And this question, you know, about who the most successful person in the position was, it reminds you of one of those situations where you are coming into a class just after the beloved teacher has left, right? And no matter what you do, you're not going to do it the way Mrs. Smith did it, right? So I think this is probably a pretty, it's a bit awkwardly worded. But I think it is an interesting and maybe important thing to know as you're coming into a job, especially if it's an established job.
What do you think, Josh?
Well, I think this question really kind of depends on also what industry you're in and what you're applying for, right? So you can get very different answers depending on what industry. So, for example, if you're looking at a job in sales, this would be a very typical question because people like to talk about the success of their salespeople.
Right. I kind of thought that, too. I really feel like it depends upon what kind of job you're interviewing for, what industry you're in. And I think that the reasoning behind why they're suggesting you answer this question is it will give you an idea of the kind of growth or path you might have in the company. That's only if the person has remained, to me, it's only if the person has been remained and been promoted within the company.
Well, I think it just goes back almost to that idea of company culture, but not quite, just an idea of finding out what you are getting yourself into, right? Like if the guy who did the job before you was fired and half the staff left with that person, you don't necessarily want to get into that position, right?
But I don't think that person would be considered the most successful person in that position, right?
No, but again, you're just trying to like figure out what has been going on in that position. So you know what you're getting yourself into. You don't want to be in someone's shadow. You mean like, like following the person who was perfect at the job.
You mean like Mrs. Smith?
Like Mrs. Smith, but you also maybe don't want to be, you know, like way overqualified for the job you're going to do.
Right, and you do need to have some basis for making that kind of decision. Like, really? I mean, I've interviewed people and they are way overqualified and I've told them, you know, they are. I think that you're way overqualified for a position. And sometimes they don't care. They've been under such stress they want to come down a little bit.
Yeah, that's a pretty common thing, I think.
In some fields, yeah. I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, especially if people have, earned a lot of money in their work life. And there's been a very high stress environment. Maybe they're really not so worried about what the paycheck is. Maybe they're mostly worried about doing something positive and sort of restoring their health, things like that, right?
Or at least being way less stressful.
Yeah.
Right. And then, I don't know about this one, ask about the potential for future earnings or earning. So does that mean, I don't know how it would feel like, when am I going to get a pay raise?
I mean, the topic of pay is very sensitive, right? But really, for most people, it is a major deciding factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if you're applying for a job in an industry where there are a lot of different competing companies,
mm-hmm.
really, a lot of the companies will be fairly similar. And so the salary can be the deciding factor, you know, whether you decide to go to company A or decide to go to company B. A little bit of money can make a big difference there.
I think it depends upon where you are in life and where you are, you know, along, I don't know, the ladder of success, as we say.
Sure.
I mean, to some people, it doesn't, as we said before, it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, you know, it really does, once again, it kind of depends on the industry a little bit. So in a lot of interviews, they will discuss a little bit about, like, say, maybe the way that reviews are done, how often you're given reviews, which is another word for how often you're given raises, right? So a lot of places will say, every 6 months we have a review, and depending on the performance, there will be an increase in your wage. But then there are other companies who will cap your compensation as far as salary goes, but then will give you other types of compensation,
mm-hmm.
be it increased time off, or perhaps even increased benefits, or even maybe shares in the company. It just really kind of depends. But like they say, this is a relevant conversation, right? So there is some point where people kind of want to make sure that everybody knows that they're on the same page as far as the compensation for the job that you're applying for. And I think even though it is a little bit awkward to talk about, everyone wants to make sure that that's all well understood.
And I think you should make sure that it is well understood and that you do discuss this issue,
mm-hmm.
because the interviewer might leave it vague. And if it's not even if it's an issue of concern for you, but if it's an issue of interest for you, you definitely need to find out.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that companies often miss or managers often miss is that salary is one of the easiest ways to show that you value an employee. So it
yes.
doesn't necessarily have to be a high salary, but if it's structured around things like bonuses or if employees are comparing how much they make compared to other people, things like that. Once you're in a situation where an employee feels like they are not being valued, it's really, really hard to motivate that person to do anything and sort of come back from that, right? So much better to get all of the money talk out on the table right at the beginning.
That's true. I feel the same way.
I totally agree. And then we have another point, the rules tied to innovation and future projects. So what did you think about this idea, Josh?
Well, so what they're saying here is, I think, also a little bit kind of dependent upon the industry that you're in, right? So if you're looking to be, you know, maybe in a sales or service job, it might work. Like, you might have some new products there, a new product line coming out, but maybe not. But I think really the takeaway here is the part where they talk about doing your homework.
Right.
Right? So when we say do your homework, this is not like in a an assignment sort of way. It means that you've really taken the time to do some research, to look into the situation, to look into the company, and to get a good idea of really what kind of questions you should ask, so it seems like you know what you're talking about and you're interested.
Right. What do you think, Simon?
I've been blessed to work for a number of different companies that were actually pretty good at innovation. But most of the time, it didn't work the way you would think innovation would work. Like, companies, I guess what I'm saying is, in my experience, often companies that feel they are innovative really are not. But companies that are doing very well are actually quite innovative, but in a very sort of quiet way. And just as an example of that, like, you know, you can work at a job where if you finish your work a little early, you feel like you're under pressure to, like, fake that you've still got work. Otherwise, your boss will be like, you know, sort of give you a whole ton of extra work. But you can be in other jobs where you sort of have the freedom to be pursuing individual projects that are kind of related to what you do at your job. And those companies tend to be much more innovative. So, again, just like salary, I think finding out how much freedom you have to experiment and change the process of your job is pretty important at the beginning.
I also think that it goes along with development of an employee as well. I remember when someone I know got a new job and was so excited because he was getting paid to read the newspaper. And part of it was because of his job description. He had to know what was going on in a certain field.
Sure.
But in his the job before that he had, he didn't have time to think, you know, much less read the newspaper and keep up to date. And that's the other thing for us as a potential employee is, in addition to innovation and future projects, you have to stay up to date in your industry. You know, we can say, oh, we're so innovative, but you might be 10 years behind.
Yeah.
And it's innovative for you in a company, but it's not innovative in the field as a whole.
Right.
So that's things that only you as an individual can know.
Well, and the thing too is, it's if you are working, you sort of run off your feet from 9 till 5, it's very, very hard to make any changes to your job.
That's
and without
right.
that freedom to make changes or think about what you're doing and why you're doing it and how you're doing it, without that free time or that freedom to do that, things really just aren't going to change. Because people who are sort of higher up than you on the corporate ladder aren't going to know that there are problems or inconveniences, right?
Well, because you're too busy trying to take care of them.
Right. Yeah. Or you might be too busy to deal with the fact that you're using an email client that's from, you know, early 2000s and really clunky and difficult to deal with. But it works, and you don't have time to change it. And as long as it works, you don't need to, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, these are three more ideas from Caskey and Duggar. We had that discussion yesterday, brought up by Simon. And we have the last four that we're going to read and discuss now. So stay with us. We're in the middle of page 43 in the left-hand column.
Seven, ask if they offer continuing education and professional training. This demonstrates that you are interested in expanding your knowledge and skills, which in turn will benefit the employer. 8. Ask a hypothetical question. If you were hired, what would they like you to accomplish in a year? Find out what will get you an outstanding review if you get the job. And that way, you can set your goals, Duger says. 9. Don't just walk away from the interview. Always find out what's the next step. How long is the waiting process? What do you need to prepare if there is additional screening? 10. Lastly, always ask follow-up questions. Don't let the employer get away with one-word answers, Kasky says. You are interviewing them as much as they are interviewing you, and you want to know that your abilities and skills would achieve their full potential.
So continuing education, this is something that is good no matter what field that you're in. And if it's continuing education, we hear this word, what does it mean?
So continuing education is a term that we refer to, usually another word for it might be adult education, but mm-hmm. It means the education you take after your formal education is done. It might be night classes, it might be seminars. There might be education courses that are offered by your workplace, but often there are also resources that you use outside of work in order to keep yourself up to speed with what's going on in your industry.
That's right. Have you ever taken a continuing education class, either one of you?
Yes, but in my experience, they are not the classes themselves, but continuing education and professional training through your workplace is getting rarer and rarer. And I think largely the reason for that is that if a company is going to pay for you to do training, it's because they are thinking long term. And I think that's harder to find in the workplace now. A lot of people change jobs fairly quickly. There's a lot of contract positions, things like that. And so if you're an employee and you hear that, yes, they have continuing education and professional training, I think it's a good sign that you might have found some stability in the workplace.
Well, I think that the average length that people hold jobs, like for among the millennials in the United States, is 2 to 3 years, mm-hmm. which is quite different than the previous generation.
Yeah, and you think about, like, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was fairly common for large companies to have programs like where they sent management trainees off to do an MBA for 2 years, things like that. And if you're only going to be at the company for 2 years or 3 years, you know, that's not a good use of company resources,
that's
right?
That's true.
Well, I think if that happens, there's an agreement that you sign with a company that you'll stay for a certain period of time.
Yeah,
that's also true. But I do think it's important to point out that there was, you know, for a long time, a prevailing mm-hmm. culture of hiring from within, moving people up the corporate ladder, like
right.
we like to say, and also the understanding that you would stay with the company for 10 to 15 years, in which case then it is an investment in order to invest in your employees by also investing in education in order to move them along. But as you said, it's becoming less and less common for people to stay at one employer for more than a few years, in which case, like Simon says, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense in order to pay for an MBA that takes 2 years if they're only going to be working for you for three.
Yeah, at the same time, though, even if you are, you know, a younger worker and you're doing a contract sort of thing, you really should be thinking about developing, I guess, what we could call a portfolio of skills or mm-hmm. a collection of skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking advantage of any sort of training or education that you can get, any kind of experience or opportunities, is probably a good thing.
I totally agree. And, you know, and this, I always hate to say you have to look out for yourself, because it sounds quite selfish, and I don't mean it that way. But, you know, as an employee, you also you should want to develop yourself.
That's
and
true.
So you need to look for opportunities. If your employer doesn't offer them, I mean, they've never offered them, there are lots of other ways to get some continuing education or some training in fields.
And I would suggest that, you know, there are a lot of things out there that are easy to do that can be smaller, short-term courses that will really, in the long run, add to a lot of your ability to be productive in the workplace. For example, if you tend to work at a job that has spreadsheets, there are so many different tips and tricks and shortcuts to spreadsheets that can really make your life a lot easier, but you would never know about them until somebody showed them to you. So that's why it's worth maybe thinking about taking a short course, a seminar, in these sorts of skills.
Really?
Unless, of course, you want to just ignore spreadsheets altogether Which is an option too, but I'm just saying that it might make your life and your professional life just a little bit easier, a little bit less stressful.
All right, I'll think about it. I'll think about spreadsheets. Okay. And also, our next point is to ask hypothetical questions. So if something is hypothetical, is it real or not real?
It means it's not real yet, but I suppose it could happen.
Okay.
Right. Well, so, you would suggest, like, maybe in this scenario, in this situation, so it would be, like, something that's suggested or possible, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and actually their example is pretty much a typical hypothetical example because it starts with an if, right? So when we think about hypothetical questions, we usually think about saying if.
And mm-hmm. also the verb shows you here that it's not true, were. Okay, mm-hmm. if you were hired, what would they like you to do? If you thought the possibility were really, really high, you would say, if I'm hired, you would use the present tense of the be verb. So this is showing it's very hypothetical.
Sure.
So if you were hired, what would they like you, that means the company, like you to accomplish in a year? I thought this question was really interesting.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Very much depends on the job, though, again. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're applying for a part-time position at your local supermarket, the manager is not going to have an answer for this question.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, yeah, that is true.
Unless they were, like, very, very, very deliberate about how you recycle, right? So if you fill up the recycling bin more than you fill up the trash bin, I don't know. That's a hypothetical, for sure.
Yeah. The other thing is, I guess you can, in a lot of ways, you can divide jobs into sort of two categories. And the first category, I suppose I would say, would be like jobs where you repeat the same tasks or group of tasks over and over again as part of a process. But the other category would be jobs where you're brought on to perform a specific task one time or set something up or do a project. And this is really a question, I think, that lends itself to the second kind of job.
Sure.
Right? Because you're being hired to perform a specific function in a specific period of time, and then maybe it's expected that you'll move on to a different job.
True, very true. But I think that the reason that they suggest that you find that this out is so that you can get an outstanding review. And then I thought that was kind of interesting.
It was interesting that they're kind of tying it back a little bit to the earning question, right?
Mm-hmm.
What will give you the best review and then theoretically the best raise.
Right. And topic number 9, I guess, don't just walk away from the interview. What does that mean, don't just walk away?
Oh, I mean, well, just walk away means you just leave after the interview, right? You literally walk away from the interview.
Right.
But sort of on a deeper level here, it suggests, don't just leave without finding out what is going to happen next.
Right, because you don't know. Sometimes it will take like a couple weeks for them to go through their process. It might be a few months. It kind of depends on the individual employer. But, right, it's important to get a very concrete idea of what might be required of you next, just in case.
So what kind of, I mean, we wouldn't say, how long is the waiting process if we were asking the question, would we? What would we say?
We might. I mean, it depends. In my experience, this depends a lot on the size of the company. Because the bigger the company, mm-hmm. I don't want to say the worse the employer, but often the colder the employer. You know, like you apply and just never hear anything. You might hear 5 years later that they finally pulled up your resume and decided to look at it or something, right? But big companies tend to have this sort of like, we're big, we're great kind of attitude about stuff. And they will just leave you hanging they are good and ready to sort of talk to you. And so that can make you crazy if you are applying for jobs, you know, because if you've applied for a good job and you think the interview went well, and then you're waiting around 2 weeks later and something else comes up that's maybe not as good a job, but, you know, it's a job, and it's there and you can get it. You know, what do you do? Do you wait around to hear back from the big company? So
how would we phrase the question? Would I say to you, how long is the waiting period?
Well, I would probably say, so what exactly is your hiring process?
Okay.
Right? So what's the system that you use? Because it could be that the person that you're interviewing with is going to be making the decisions themselves about who to fill the position with. It's also possible that they might make their recommendations, and then push it up a level so that their supervisor will then take your recommendations and the resumes and decide who to ask back for a second interview, right?
Right.
So that's maybe the way I would phrase it, is that what is the hiring process for this position?
Yeah, that's kind of what I would expect to
expect
as well. And then, according to what your answer, what the answer that you get, it says, what do you need to prepare if there is additional screening? I don't know if we asked that question.
I would never say that.
I know, because
it seems pretty like you've assumed you've already got the job.
Right.
You know?
I felt the very same way. So you have to have that in the back of your mind.
The question to ask yourself.
Right.
Not a question to ask the person who is interviewing you.
And then always ask follow-up questions. So don't, and I thought this was interesting, don't let the employer get away with one-word answers.
But maybe don't push them too much if they're only giving you one-word answers.
Right, after the first time and the second time, that would probably be a good time to stop.
Yeah. Okay. But just remember, the attitude here is that you're interviewing them, so you need to find out if you really want this job as well. So you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you. And use this time to, you know, have your skills shine.
I would say everybody would agree that everyone wants people to work at a place where they're interested in working, and everyone wants to work with other people who want to be there. So I think this is the idea, is to really establish that, ask some good questions to really make sure that it's a good fit and that you're going to be happy and that your employer is going to be happy with you.
And to show your interest.
Exactly.
Well, we hope that you have learned as much as we have in this from this article, and we hope that you'll join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom. It's time to say bye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.